The Book Nook on WYSO is presented by the Greene County Public Library with additional support from Clark County Public Library, Dayton Metro Library, Washington Centerville Public Library, and Wright Memorial Public Library.
Good morning. You're listening to WYSO in Yellow Springs. And we have the Best of the Book Nook coming up for you following NPR News. And we're going to start the year off today with kind of an offbeat book from 19 years ago. Actually, 20 years ago now, since it's now 2022. This was recorded back in 2002 with the humorist Cynthia Heimel. She died a few years ago. And we talked about her book, Advanced Sex Tips for Girls. This time, it's personal. You don't want to miss this. It's coming up on the Best of the Book Nook this morning, starting off your new year with some advanced sex tips. Good morning. Welcome to the Best of the Book Nook on WYSO and Happy New Year. I'm Vic McCunis. We're going to go into our Book Nook archive 20 years back to 2002 when I interviewed Cynthia Heimel. She had just put out a book called Advanced Sex Tips for Girls. This time, it's personal. And this is a great example of an interview where we're really conversing. I love a good conversation, and people sometimes will ask me, well, how did you learn how to do interviews? Well, interviews are really, for me, conversations. And if you're having a good conversation, then it becomes a good interview. And back in another world, another life, before I was interviewing authors on the radio, I was doing a lot of interviews with farmers and people in the agricultural industry. I was doing market research interviews. I'd call people up on the phone and talk to them about their corn crops and that sort of thing. And one time I had an assignment, I had to interview 200 apple growers in Michigan and ask them about fungicides. And after you've done 200 interviews with farmers talking about fungicides, if you have not learned how to have a conversation, it's probably not going to happen. So that was great practice because you talk to them about a lot of other stuff besides fungicides. You talk to them about the weather and about where they live and personal stuff if they're willing to share that. And then I share my own personal story. And this was really great training for me to interview authors. So when I booked an interview with Cynthia Heimel, she was at her hotel in New York City, and I called her on the phone. And because of the subject matter of the book, Advanced Sex Tips for Girls, This Time It's Personal, I knew that we had to do this interview with good taste. And so we had a conversation, and we had fun, and we listened to one another. And that's really the key to a good conversation or a successful interview is you listen to the other person. You talk, you share, you listen, and you have fun. Let's listen now. Here's Cynthia Heimel from the Best of the Book Nook.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis, and I'm really excited about our interview today. We have been joined by Cynthia Heimel, and she has a new book out. It's called Advanced Sex Tips for Girls, This Time It's Personal. Cynthia?
Yes?
What's the deal here? I haven't read the first book, so I'm a little behind the curve.
Oh, but, you don't.
But I'm a guy, so, you know, that's my excuse.
You know, you can't blame everything on being a guy.
Well, I don't.
All right, good. You're just blaming, you know, this thing. Sex Tips for Girls was read by everyone. So, Vic, I'm a little sad.
I'm the only one that hasn't read it. I'm very sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I'm just a little sad, a little disappointed, but it'll be okay. Anyway, Sex Tips for Girls is not at all like the new one. The new one is more metaphysical sex tips.
Okay.
If that makes any sense at all. And the first one was filthy. I mean, it was all humor, but there was dirty stuff in it.
Okay.
That I can't say over the air, you know.
We'll just let our listeners imagine what it might have been.
The
ones that haven't read it, and I'm the only one that hasn't read it, so they all know what you're talking about.
Hi, listeners. Hello.
They're listening, Cynthia, and I know there are millions of people tuning in right now because everyone wants to know about advanced sex tips for girls, particularly guys.
Right. Well, guys are allowed to buy the book, I have to say. Some of the pieces in the book were actually my Playboy column.
Okay.
So it's not a bad thing for guys.
Why don't you tell us about yourself, Cynthia? How did you get into this line of work? And what about this Playboy column? And who the heck are you anyway?
I'm a humor writer, and I live in Oakland, California, but I spent most of my time in New York City, which is where I am right now, most of my adult years in New York City. I started writing in 1975, and I started writing in 1968. I could start with that. I was on a campus, and they were rioting, mm-hmm. and I was distributing newspapers. That was my job. The alternative newspaper had hired me to distribute newspapers. So I saw this riot, and I called the office and said, "You've got to send someone down here." And they said, "Cover it." So then I became a writer by covering it, and they gave me a column, and I got to go to Woodstock and everything.
This during all the student unrest?
It was during the big mm-hmm. unrest of 68.
Where were you, Columbia?
actually, Temple.
Temple?
University.
You were in Philly, huh?
Philadelphia, yeah. That's where I grew up. That's what, until I was 20. I left when I was 20.
So you were out there on the main line somewhere?
Kind of.
Mm-hmm. Upper Marion, Lower Darby.
Upper Marion, Lower Marion, and except for the fact that I was right off City Line Avenue, I'd look out my back window and see, you know, Hojo's and four gas stations.
Uh-huh.
And out the front window was Lower Marion, and very pretty.
Well,
so that's why I'm weird.
I think we all have our excuses.
Mm-hmm.
Cynthia, I see you got a plug from Annie Lamott, who's been on this program. Is she a friend?
Yeah. She's a good friend.
Isn't she amazing?
I love her.
Mm.
I just love her. She's so funny. And she loves this book, I'm very happy to say. So it's a mutual admiration society.
I laughed a lot reading this book and looking at the cover initially, being a guy and seeing this woman's stiletto heel poised delicately over a walnut, it did cause me some trepidation.
Some anxiety, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't blame you. I would just like to say I had nothing to do with the cover. I don't get the cover. I don't see the point of the cover. But Simon & Schuster, you know, they did the cover for Sex Tips for Girls, and I hated that too. And it did really well, so I'm staying out of it.
So you figure they know what they're doing?
In this case, yeah. I mean, it's a stiletto with fishnets, and it's red, which I hate. I hate, you know, it reminds me of Nancy Reagan. And yet people are saying it's a great cover. It's a great cover. It's so eye-catching. So.
I love your section in there about chocolate M&Ms.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you.
Not that I'm in love with chocolate M&Ms, but I understood the obsession finally. I finally got it.
Peanut M&Ms.
Right, peanut M&Ms.
Yeah. Especially when I was depressed, I would start eating M&Ms, and I would sometimes stay up really late doing something like reading and think, I need more M&Ms, and go to the 7-Eleven at like 4 in the morning.
And you get that great big bag.
I would, and I would eat it all. It was a terrible time for me. I was married to some weird guy who said he was a Jew and turned out not to be a Jew.
Ooh.
Should I back up a second for that?
So was this one of the initial job requirements, that his resume was incorrect?
Well, I didn't care if he was a Jew, but he talked about being a Jew all the time. And then we got married, and he said, "Now I can tell you, I'm not really a Jew."
I don't get it.
I don't either. It was like he almost converted, but he didn't quite, and he felt like he was a Jew. But he wouldn't tell me that he wasn't. How strange is that? So that's when I knew that I had married Mr. Wrong.
So you ultimately broke it off with Mr. Wrong.
Yes, I had to get him out of the house. It was awful.
You talk about this a little bit in the book.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm talking about it now.
Is it therapeutic for you?
Yeah, it is. I like to talk about it because it was very painful and very difficult, and I think everybody should know the warning signs of abusive men.
Tell us how he first attracted your notice. He didn't strike you as a dangerous weirdo at the time, did he?
No, he was very funny and very nice, and he fell madly in love with me at first sight and was just crazy about me immediately. So I thought I was in a fairy tale. You know, it was just wonderful, and I was on cloud nine and all those cliches. And it wasn't until after we were married that he turned into another guy.
Hmm.
But one of the things I found out is that love at first sight is really not a good idea. You have to worry about that. If someone's too involved too soon, that means there's a possibility of abuse. So although it's great in the movies, you know, love at first sight, all that kind of stuff, in real life, you know, you have to get a restraining order.
Well, we all have these romantic notions, many of them fueled by the film industry and by pulp fiction. Mm-hmm. And life isn't like that, is it?
No. I think, you know, the reason that they're in movies and fiction is you have to have tension. You have to have dramatic tension. So you have the love at first sight. And then the stalking comes next in the movies. You know, somebody loves... there's this movie, Hope Floats, that I really hated. That was like a paradigm for these awful movies. And, you know, romantic comedy, supposedly. And, the guy falls in love with Sandra Bullock. Harry Connick falls in love with Sandra Bullock right away. He's been waiting for her for decades. And the way he courts her is he keeps putting her down, following her everywhere and putting her down. And eventually he wants to have sex with her, and she says no, and he shushes her and decides to have his way anyway.
Mm.
And she realizes that she's really in love with him after all. I couldn't believe it.
Because that's just the way it works in real life.
Right? No, but my God, we're seeing movies like that all the time. And I think it's a real problem.
It creates modeling for people that is just completely absurd.
Yeah, exactly.
You're listening to 91.3 WYSO, amplifying voices from every corner of our community. And today, on this first edition of the Book Nook for 2022, we are revisiting an interview I did 20 years ago with the humorist Cynthia Heimel. And we were talking about her book, Advanced Sex Tips for Girls. This time, it's personal. And we had a lot of fun together that day. She was on the telephone at her hotel in New York City. And she died a few years ago, and she was well known for witticisms and just clever things. And here are a couple of quotes from Cynthia Heimel. She wrote in a book called If You Can't Live Without Me, Why Aren't You Dead Yet? Quote, I regret nothing. I'm miserable because I was one of the first, and I believe that women my age are a sacrifice to the future. It's not going to be the same for our daughters. They will have a much better chance of having it all, whatever that means. We'll continue with my conversation with Cynthia Heimel right after this. It's the Best of the Book Nook on WYSO, going back 20 years to my interview with the late Cynthia Heimel, and we were talking about her book, Advanced Sex Tips for Girls. This time, it's personal.
In the book, you talk about the relatively new concept of courtship via the internet, via email.
Yes.
That's another strange one at times.
Well, it was strange for me because that's how I met this guy. So, yes. But it was, I do like online stuff. I am involved in an online community called The Well. And it's a very old community, and everybody knows everybody's whole name, and there's no secret identities. And it's not a chat room. It's like a bulletin board system. I know you hate all this, right?
Is that a question?
Yeah.
Why would I hate it?
Well, because, you know, you're a Luddite.
Oh, right, yeah.
I do that, and I have a whole community of people that I can talk to.
You were using these terms like chat room, and I was just kind of going, huh? What's she talking about?
AOL. Ever heard of AOL?
Aren't you leaving out some letters, like a couple S's? My guess is...
And an H and an E?
My guess is Cynthia Heimel. The book is Advanced Sex Tips for Girls. This time it's personal. And I think one of my favorite parts of the book is you have this spurious advice column.
Yes.
Now, what do you call it, the problem lady? Or?
Problem lady, yeah.
I like the one where you talk about the guy who the boyfriend who's on antidepressants because he's determined that he doesn't want to have any feelings, or I can't remember exactly how you said it, but
I can't remember either. But basically, he wanted to have feelings, and the only I think that was a letter where she was the woman who wrote to me was upset. Of course, the woman who wrote to me was actually me writing to me, but she was very upset because suddenly their sex life was really not so good. Because of the antidepressant cocktail.
Yeah, they have side effects, don't they?
Yeah. And what do you do? You've got a happy boyfriend, but, you know, there's something lacking.
He's in La La Land, and he's not even sure that you're in the same building.
No, he knows you're in the same building. He just doesn't know what to do with you. Come here, honey. Why?
We also finally have a reversal where instead of the guy having the really great job and the woman getting by on a lot less income, suddenly we have reversals going on where we have women with the really great jobs and guys that are kind of pathetic. And you take a look at that as well.
Yeah. Well, there's all kinds. I mean, I have this whole chapter on it's called Dater Beware. And I talk about the men who are, you know, carpenter/musicians that we've all gone out with in our 20s. And I think we've all gone out with them.
I didn't, but...
Well, no. This is
just carpenters, no musicians.
Carpenters, yes. And musicians/house painters and artists/gardeners and all those guys. And they're, you know, they're very nice in their 20s, but they never have a real job. You know, they're just a bunch of things. And it can get really pathetic when they're still like that in their 50s.
Would you consider a job like this one where I'm interviewing you on the radio a real job?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just checking. Because there were a couple things on your list where I said, ouch.
That's me?
Yeah.
Really? Like what?
Oh, the ponytail part.
Are you a ponytail?
Uh-huh.
Are you balding?
No.
Well, then you're fine. Are you a stockbroker?
Not anymore.
Okay.
You know, those day trader days are done.
You were never a day trader.
You're right.
No, I like you very much. I'm not putting you down ever.
See, you didn't have the disclaimer in there about the ponytail plus these other...
Yeah, I did.
Oh, I must have missed that.
He wears a ponytail. He's bald, yet he wears a ponytail. Something else, yet he wears a ponytail. He's a stockbroker. Yet he wears a ponytail.
Okay. My guess is Cynthia Heimel. What is it about this special locus in the brain that is a node that possibly gives women greater power? What's that all about?
Well, people are always wondering if there's a special little node in the brain that gives women greater power of intuition, you know, the term women's intuition. And so people are always asking me that, and I have to say, no, there is nothing like that. That the reason that women have intuition is because they had to get by in the world. They weren't given the same freedoms that men were given. I don't say this is still true, but it certainly has been true for a long time. And so when you have less power, you can't just take what you want. And so you have to figure out how to get what you want, which means you have to learn how to read people. And someone's knocking on my hotel room door. Damn it.
Is it room service? Or
no, no, they shouldn't be. I'm just going to ignore them. But what was I saying?
You were talking about that part in the brain.
That part in the brain that doesn't exist, really. Yeah. It's just, I think anybody who would be sort of deprived of power and self-regulation is and who needs to get things and get by is going to learn how to read people. And women did that more than men. But men do it too, you know. Especially gay men have great intuition. So it's not a special node. It's not a special power. There's no such thing as women's intuition.
Would it be safe to say that we all probably have this ability, but many of us have caused it to go away or we don't pay attention to it?
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think you should pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm. My guest is Cynthia Heimel. Her book is Advanced Sex Tips for Girls. This time it's personal. You allude to a little bit of your past here. Now, were you living in a commune? Is that a correct terminology?
Kinda. Yeah, maybe. A little bit of a commune.
Kind of a 60s hippie type?
Yeah. I lived with a rock and roll band.
Now, would that be someone we would remember or know about?
No. Well, Todd Rundgren.
Well, of course. Was that with Naz?
Yeah. Do you know Naz?
I remember Naz. I remember Naz very well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was... Actually, the band was... While I was living there, it went from Woody's Truck Stop to the Naz.
Oh, wow. That
from one band to another.
We're talking mid-60s.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'm very, very old.
Well, I must be very, very old, too, because I remember... In fact, some of those came out on colored vinyl.
Yeah. Remember vinyl?
Sure. Sure. What was Todd Rundgren like back then? Was he just like a complete sex machine?
No. Todd was... I think I can call him Todd. He was like a geeky guy. He was just like a modern geek. He was, you know, he just wanted to play guitar all the time. He was really awkward. He never had a girlfriend. There was no sort of sexualness about him. He was just a silly little kid. Well, we all were. And then, you know, it's after he took drugs, I think. I think that's what I've been told. That he became another guy and went out with lots of groupies.
Suddenly he was with, didn't he marry like a Playboy playmate or something?
He married B.B. Buell.
I remember her. She had a recording career too,
sort
of a recording career.
Yeah, that's, and she might have been in Playboy, but she was basically very high class groupie material and a very nice woman.
So was this up in Bearsville? Where was this?
This was in...
Woodstock, that area up there?
No, this was in Philadelphia.
Oh, okay.
Although we went to Bearsville on occasion. So you know the whole Bearsville thing, too.
Well, I just remember 20 years ago running into certain individuals who were completely freaked out on Todd Rundgren. It was like Todd was their god. It was bizarre. I'm sure you remember them. They made deadheads seem passive.
I know. I know. I did run into them, and it was very weird.
Uh-huh. Well, Todd now is like pretty much totally gone into the internet, hasn't he?
Has he? I don't know.
I've heard a lot of his stuff is just available online.
Well, that would make sense, because, as I said, geeky boy.
Uh-huh.
Geek boy.
So
boys boy.
Did you learn a lot about life with this experience with the rock band?
I learned that chicks still couldn't put on the records. You know, mm-hmm. it was still a problem for the chicks, even in the 60s.
Don't go near the record player.
Don't go near the record player. You know, if you do, the guys are going to get mad. Bake some bread and shut up. It was really like that.
Is it still like that? Don't go near the CD player?
No. No, I think things are really different now. With the children of hippies in a lot of cases, and they just don't have the same frame of reference at all. You know, if you were born after 1970, you were born after feminism became kind of the big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so women weren't imparting all these wrong ideas to their children nearly as much. So I think things are actually pretty good now in some ways.
Well, we're going to have Andrea Dvorkin on the program next week. I'm going to have to double check some of this information with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think we agree.
Okay. Is having a pet better than having a man?
No. No. Did I say that in the book?
No, but your publicist came up with all these these ideas for what you would want to talk about.
Having a pet is so wonderful if it's a dog.
You're not a cat person?
I'm allergic to cats. I like a cat.
Uh-huh.
I think cats are very nice. But I love dogs, and I know all about dogs. I can, you know, tell you anything you need to know.
Speaking of dogs, what did you think when Bill Clinton got caught?
You mean with Monica Lewinsky?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, he is the leader of the free world, the head of the pack, you know.
Uh-huh.
That in Darwinian terms, I can't imagine that he would do anything else but, you know, sleep with everyone he sees. I was not at all surprised. You know, it's everybody in the world does everything so they can have sex. So he became the president of the United States just so he could have sex with Monica Lewinsky.
So it was more like, is that a hidden agenda in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me?
Yes.
So that's it. That's the hidden agenda behind all of our actions. Mm-hmm. When we get to the root of it, that's the element that is behind everything.
Propagation of the species. Yeah, that's the thing.
Well, that is one of the truisms that you advocate in the book, and you're absolutely emphatic about that.
Yeah, about propagation of the species.
About that being the hidden agenda behind everything that we do as human beings.
Yes. Remember, I'm a humor writer, so I speak in hyperbole.
My guest is Cynthia Heimel. The book is Advanced Sex Tips for Girls. This time it's personal. And if you pick up today's Impact Weekly, you'll see that we have a review of the book in there. I reviewed it a couple weeks ago, and I gave it a thumbs up, Cynthia.
Yay. You liked it.
I laughed. I thought that as a guy, I had a lot to learn. And when I was done with the book, I'd learned a little bit. So
that's good. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm glad.
I didn't learn everything, but I learned a little bit.
Yeah, well, you can't learn everything from one person.
Well, I thought it would be more salacious than it was. But
I know, it's not very salacious at all. It's a real problem. I have to go on TV on Monday on the scariest TV show, Sally Jesse Raphael.
Oh, do you really?
I have to go, yeah.
Now, what's that all about? Is it for the book?
Yeah, and so they want me to come up with the top 10 sex tips. And, you know, to do that kind of David Letterman thing.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to have to use the first book.
Sally Jesse Raphael, now, is that just the taping, or will it be aired that day as well?
I don't know. I don't actually know. Maybe it's aired the next day.
Well, our listeners will have to watch for that so they can connect your voice to a vision on the television. Is television a lot more difficult for you than radio?
Yes. You know how I'm comfortable and fine now just talking to you?
Mm-hmm.
On television, I become incredibly self-conscious, and I stare at my feet, and I rock in my chair, and I'm just terrible.
Mm. Sort of nerve-wracking, isn't it?
It's scary, yeah. You think, if there's a studio audience, it's not as bad, because then you have someone to talk to and play to. But when you have anchor people in the morning news that don't really care whether you live or die, it's hard. I was on Politically Incorrect, and that was fun. That wasn't bad at all.
What's Bill Maher like?
He's great. I think he's wonderful. A lot of people hate him, but I don't. I think he's really smart. I think he's, you know, he's wrong about some things. He's politically weird about, you know, what's that? He's a libertarian or stuff, some mm-hmm. sort.
Who was on the show with you? Do you remember?
Yes, Kelsey Grammer. Uh-huh. That's all I remember. And Bill was sucking up to Kelsey Grammer a lot.
Don't you also visit Terry Gross sometimes?
Yeah, for every book so far. I don't know about this one. But, you know, now she does movie stars and musicians. But I hope to do Terry because I love Terry.
Well,
the last time we did something together, she did it with me and my son. And there was no real reason. It was just, you know, let's talk to you and your son, Cynthia. And it was hilarious.
Tell us about your son.
My son is 31 years old, and he's on his second marriage. But that's not as scary as it seems, because now he's found the right person. He's really happy. But they did get married on MTV.
And you talk about that in the book.
I know. They got married on MTV. I was stunned. I'm not saying I was horrified, because I wasn't, but I was stunned. He said he was going on a quiz show on MTV, and he might be getting married to his fiancée on the air. And he did, and he got married in a bathing suit. They were both in bathing suits. He was covered with cake frosting, don't ask. And she had to lick it off. It was horrible for her. She was so embarrassed. And then they got married by an Elvis impersonator.
I think I missed that.
I have it on tape. You have to come over.
Okay. My guest is Cynthia Heibel. Her new book is Advanced Sex Tips for Girls. This time it's personal. It's just published by Simon & Schuster. Did they put this out like around Valentine's Day? Was that the plan?
I think so. It was going to come out later in the month, but since Valentine's Day was coming up and Borders and places like that wanted to do a promotion of it, they brought it out early.
So some marketing genius was behind this.
I guess. I don't know. That's where I'm a Luddite. I have no idea what goes on in the marketing world. I'm just scared of it.
You don't need to involve yourself in that. Just be a creative person.
Okay.
Just be funny and mine that mother load of experience.
Oh, okay. I will then.
Now, you talk about panty girdles in the book. I can remember looking at these rather restrictive garments that my mother had back in the 50s, and being amazed by them and puzzled by them, and obviously they were a horrid thing.
They were abhorred?
A horrid.
Oh, a horrid. I thought you said a horrid.
Sort of a painful thing?
The panty girdles are what broke the back of the patriarchy.
Really?
Yeah, because women... And little girls even were put into panty girdles, and that was just, they're an instrument of torture. They're instruments of torture. They roll up, they give you thigh gangrene, they snap at you, they kill your waist and stomach. I mean, I was 11 years old and my mother put me in a panty girdle.
Oh, my.
I know. And, you know, stockings, the garters snap at you too, and they're just plain... torture. And that was too much for women to bear. You know, they already, you know, had no rights, you know, no pay parity, no anything. But then when they had to wear one of these scary things, they thought, okay, that's enough. We're going to be feminists now.
Well, if you go back 100 years and you look at China where the women bound their feet and you look at some of those bustiers or bodices that they used to just literally have to pull the strings on them so tight that they would just about kill these poor women.
Yeah.
We've made progress, haven't we?
Yeah, no more panty girdles. I mean, they have them, but they're not widespread, I don't think.
Would you call the whole panty girdle situation a boundary issue?
No.
You talk about boundaries.
You're segueing into the boundary issue part of my book.
you talk about those, and that's very funny, the boundary issue thing. We all have them. Any of us that share our lives with other people have major boundary issues. And I'm sure people that live alone probably do too.
Yeah, maybe that's why they live alone, because they really have, excuse me, big boundary issues. But it's like the new hot psychological malady, but I think it's a really smart one. I think if you've had intrusive people around you when you were growing up, you're going to have trouble knowing when you can just... tell them to back off. You don't know how to do that, and you become so scared of confrontation, like dreadfully scared of confrontation. And so, you know, if you get involved with someone, you're afraid to say, I need a night alone. You're afraid to say anything that might cause problems. And that's not a good way to have a relationship.
So a lot of us just get stuck in these patterns that go back probably to childhood.
Go back to infanthood, for all I know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if you don't know that you're allowed to, you know, not agree with someone. I mean, I had like the craziest mother ever. And she was like, she'd destroy my room on occasion. She'd go in and throw everything around because I hadn't cleaned it up. And she was totally snooping in my life all the time. And she would talk to everyone she knew about me all the time. It was really not good. So I have huge problems with boundary issues, which is why I wrote about it. I'm getting better.
Mm-hmm. Is the bitch back?
What's that mean? What are you saying? I don't know what that's code for.
Oh, I don't know. You can interpret it any way you want.
The bitch back. Yes. Yes. Wait.
Yes. Okay. That's good enough for me. You're listening to the Best of the Book Nook on WYSO, revisiting an interview I did 20 years ago with Cynthia Heimel, the humorist. And we were talking about a book that she had just put out called Advanced Sex Tips for Girls. This time, it's personal. And Cynthia Heimel died in 2018 at age 70 in Los Angeles. And she was really, really a funny writer. And we'll continue with my conversation with Cynthia Heimel right after this. You're listening to the Best of the Book Nook on WYSO, going back 20 years to my only interview with Cynthia Heimel. We talked about her book, Advanced Sex Tips for Girls. This time, it's personal. My guest is Cynthia Heimel. The book is Advanced Sex Tips for Girls. This time, it's personal. It just came out on Simon & Schuster. She joins us from a very posh hotel somewhere in Manhattan.
Nuh-uh. No. Okay. Smells like bug spray.
It's not posh.
No.
What are you going to do about it, Cynthia? They should be treating you better.
Hotel.
They should be treating you better than that.
They do. They treat me well. They didn't know it was a bad hotel. Simon & Schuster is actually very, very good to me. And I've been in suites and things. It's been heavenly, but not today.
Well, you would think in New York City, of all places where they're located, that they would have you in the Pierre or facing Central Park, somewhere really nice.
I think the Pierre is probably still $700 a night.
Well,
you know what I mean? It's like, even though it's February and it's New York City.
Uh-huh.
When I flew in, I saw the skyline and I started to cry. It's just so sad. Because, you know, this is my home. This is my spiritual home.
Uh-huh.
And to see it without the World Trade Center was just, oh, broke my heart.
Is that the first time you've been there since?
First time I've been in New York since it happened, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Can't believe I'm talking about it.
It's never going to go away, is it?
Nope.
That feeling?
Nope. That was like a disturbance in the force.
Yeah, well, that's obviously not an area that I was trying to take you to, but it's amazing how in just about any conversation you have with anybody these days,
it goes back to that.
Yeah, it somehow comes into the conversation.
Yeah.
It's part of our national persona now.
And it didn't happen that long ago. I think people are still in shock.
I think most of us will probably never really understand any of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too big, too much. Yeah. My guest is Cynthia Heimel, and we're talking about funny stuff, actually, believe it or not, if you just tuned in. We're talking about...
Yeah, I just took a weird detour.
Yes, she's trying to digress into a very dark forest.
Oh, God. I don't know what I was thinking. I'm very sorry, Dick.
That's okay. We were talking about Advanced Sex Tips for Girls, her new book. This time it's personal. What's next for you? What do you have on the schedule? What's the agenda, besides Sally, Jesse, Raphael next week?
Dog book.
A dog book?
Yeah. I've had enough with the sex tips. Enough already. you know, people think I'm some kind of salacious person when I'm a humorist. Humorist. And, you know, I think I'm modeled after James Thurber. Well, if I could be that lucky. And so I'm doing dogs. I know everything about dogs that there is to know.
Is it going to be a funny book about dogs?
Yeah, it's going to be funny. It's going to be like the first sex tips, and even this sex tips, where there's real information in it, but it's also totally funny.
Tell us about your dog.
Which one? I have four.
Tell us about all four of them.
Okay. I have Doc, the Lab Shepherd mix, who's magnificent, who went blind a couple years ago but still rules the house with an iron paw. And we love Doc. And I have Dorothy, who is a strange Rottweiler Beagle mix who steals food whenever she can, whenever possible, off the counters, out of bread boxes. She was very shy and lived under the house for 2 months, but now she's very bold.
Uh-huh.
She's become like feral. And then I have a little fancy Papillon that I bought for money, actual money. And these other dogs are rescue dogs. And then I have a rescued Pekingese with one eye. And she's the most hilarious dog of all. She dances.
They sound like a wonderful group.
They're great. They all get along, too. If I bring any other dogs into the pack, though, they all start peeing on the floor. So I have to stop it at four.
Don't upset the hierarchy.
I know.
They're just fine. So the dog who's blind runs the show.
Yes. All he has to do is growl and everybody cowers. And they all lick his face. You know, they're all like submissive to him.
So he's the alpha. Did you have him first?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had another dog first, but she's not here anymore. So, yes, he's the first guy. And also, he's just this really smart, great dog. He's like a policeman or something. He's always breaking up fights and, you know.
Even though he can't see?
Yeah.
He just knows where.
He did it a lot more when he could see.
Uh-huh. He knows where everything is still.
Yeah, he does. He's memorized the dog park. He's memorized the house. He's gone into the refrigerator and stolen a whole chicken. He doesn't care. He's blind, so what?
We can learn so much from our animal friends, and they have so much to offer our lives. It's amazing.
I know. I love them. I just love them. I love cats, too.
Well, we'll look forward to your book about dogs.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'm really happy to be doing it.
Now, is it going to be called Sex Tips for Dogs?
Dog Tips for Humans?
Okay.
Something like that.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, Cynthia, I hope you get out of that hotel soon, and I wish you a lot of luck with Sally, Jesse, Raphael.
Oh, thank you, Vic. It's going to be so scary. I hate television.
You'll be just fine. Just pretend you're on the radio.
I'm going to drool. No, I'm going to drool. All right, but I'll pretend I'm talking to you, which is very comfortable.
Oh, great. Well, it's been a pleasure having you, and we'd love to have you back sometime.
Oh, good. Anytime.
Why don't you stay on the line? My guest has been Cynthia Heimel. The book is Advanced Sex Tips for Girls. This time it's personal. Cynthia, don't hang up. But
okay.
Do you have one more tip to share before we segue into our next feature?
Get into bed upside down.
Sounds good to me. And that was Cynthia Heimel, recorded 20 years ago, talking about her book, Advanced Sex Tips for Girls. This time, it's personal. And we had so much fun. That's the only time I've ever spoken to her. And that was her final book. Heimel stated in that book that she was not accepted by the feminist movement, that being too sexy to be an academic feminist and too angry for women's magazines, she sometimes had difficulty finding outlets that would publish her work. And for that reason, she accepted an offer to work for Playboy and was the writer of its women column for decades, from 1983. Her column was ended around 2000 when the editors of Playboy expressed concern that Heimel's feminist attitudes would put off male readers. She died in 2018, and this is from her obituary in the New York Times. Cynthia Heimel, whose first book, Sex Tips for Girls, established her in the early 1980s as a fearlessly funny writer about men, feminism, female friendships, flirting, birth control, and lingerie, died on Sunday in Los Angeles. She was 70. Her son, Brody Hansen, said she was given a diagnosis of dementia last year. She also suffered from depression, he said. Ms. Heimel's informal confessional writing about sex and relationships preceded by more than a decade that of Candace Bushnell, whose column about dating for the New York Observer led to the HBO series Sex and the City. I used to say about Cynthia's writing and her being that she had the soul of Janis Joplin in the voice of Hedda Hopper,
Emily Prager, the novelist and comedy writer, said in an email. She was a voice for liberation with manners, freedom without regret, and the blues with a grain of salt. Ms. Heimel insisted that she was a humorist, not a sex expert. She appeared actually to be both. The advice that she gave readers of The Village Voice and Playboy magazine was practical in body, refined through the sharply profane voice of a woman seeking a good man, a bad boy, or a great fling. In Sex Tips for Girls, which came out in 1983, a collection largely of her Village Voice columns, she avoided the dry prose of clinical manuals that had turned off a lot of women to sex. I was thinking, okay, I have to write cleanly. And so I made it all jaunty and cheerful and made sure not to be slimy or weird and not salacious, she told Salon in 2002. It was sort of like nursery school writing. Sort of. She advised women against engaging in taboo behavior when naked with men. Do not, she counseled, laugh and point at the penile member. Say that your husband did it exactly the same way, or imitate Joan Rivers. And she reminded her readers, sex is a perverse little devil, and the minute you ignore it, it has a serious temper tantrum and tries every trick in the book to get you to notice. It clamors for your attention until it gets it, at which point it disappears. She adapted Sex Tips and But Enough About You, a 1986 collection, into a play, The Girl's Guide to Chaos, in which she wrote, please, God, no, don't make me do it, she says. I'll be good from now on, I promise. I'll stop feeding the dog hashish. I'll be kind, thoughtful, sober, industrious, anything, but please, God, not the ultimate torture of dating. She really was funny, wasn't she? In his review in the New York Times, Stephen Holden wrote, like Dorothy Parker, Ms. Heimel is an urban romantic with a scathing X-ray vision that penetrates her most deeply cherished fantasies. Ms. Heimel published several more collections with evocative titles like, If You Can't Live Without Me, Why Aren't You Dead Yet? And Get Your Tongue Out of My Mouth, I'm Kissing You Goodbye. Some of the material was derived from her column at Playboy, where she tried to explain women to the magazine's largely male readership. She was in the missionary position at Playboy, she wrote of herself on the community discussion website The Well, holding high her feminist credentials against the stampede-eating bunnies. In the early 80s, she was a forerunner to Candace Bushnell and Sex and the City. In a Times review of Ms. Heimel's book, If You Leave Me, Can I Come Too?, Sarah Farrell observed that Ms. Heimel writes about the same things over and over and over, and so she wondered rhetorically if it was worth reading her latest collection. Yes, it was, she wrote. It's simple, she added. She gets funnier, meaner, and possibly even smarter every time around. Cynthia Joan Glick was born in Philadelphia on July 13, 1947, grew up in nearby Overbrook Park in Cheltenham, Pennsylvania. Her father, Bernard, was a pharmacist and pharmaceutical salesman. Her mother, the former Lynn Dannon, was a secretary at the Temple University School of Medicine. And as you heard in that interview, she knew Todd Rundgren back at the beginning. After high school, Ms. Heimel told the LA Times in 1990 she left home, lived with hippies in Philadelphia for a time, and then moved to Manhattan. She just really wanted to get out of the house and leave my parents, Donna Evans, her sister said in a telephone interview. Ms. Heimel was not earning much when she moved to New York City, and then, as a divorced mother, she started receiving welfare payments. She kept the name Heimel from her first marriage. In the foreword to one of her books, her son, Mr. Ransom, who does not use the last name Heimel, wrote, we stood on long lines, anxiously awaiting a fierce battle with a city employee over money for such luxuries as, oh, I don't know, food. Her path to a writing career began with a job as a paste-up artist in the advertising department of the Soho Weekly News in Manhattan. She then moved to paste-up on the editorial side and began pitching stories. Her first was about an anarchist convention. She learned to write by reading. She was always reading something, Michael Longacre, a former creative director and managing editor of the paper, said in a telephone interview. She was completely devoted to P.G. Wodehouse. She wrote and edited at the Soho Weekly News, left briefly to work at Penthouse Magazine, returned to the paper for a while, and was then hired by The Voice. Her humorous advice column there was called Problem Lady. She also wrote a fashion column. when an incoming Village Voice editor fired her in 1997. He called her writing predictable before dismissing her. She told the New York Post, "I feel like I've walked into a Kafka novel where old stupid guys get to fire you." She also wrote for New York Magazine, The Daily News, and Vogue. She moved to L.A. in the early 1990s and worked for one season on the writing staff of Dear John, a sitcom that starred Judd Hirsch. In addition to her son and her sister, she is survived by four grandchildren. Her marriages to Stephen Heimel and Abe Opinsar ended in divorce. And I loved talking to Cynthia Heimel about her last book, our only conversation ever. We had a good time together talking about sex tips and lots of other things, like that she knew Todd Rundgren for the Best of the Book Nook. I'm Vic McCunis.